Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good evening. Welcome in. This is Nightside. I'm Harry Tynowitz. This is WGN Radio 720, and we are with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Was hoping to get to a bunch of these sillier stories that I have found across our country, stories that are just goofy. You go, no, is that for really? Is that for real, Harry? Yes, that is for real. This is actually happening. This is actually going on. Unfortunately, we have another awful, you know, story to report today, and I can't imagine, you know, that it's hitting so close to home. As many of you know, there was a shooter today in Aurora who went into a place of business there with a gun, and details are still coming in. I always feel, you know, kind of like, more like a spectator than a participant when I'm discussing these stories. So I've asked the very professional Andrea Darlis to please come in studio with me. Andrea, thank you for hanging.
Well, thank you, Harry, for having me in here. It's just, it was one of those telling days. And I think there was even a comment made earlier this morning, just it's kind of a quiet day. And just for something like this to happen, it's another workplace shooting. This hits extremely close to home on so many levels for all of us. The city of Aurora today, the victim of the latest workplace shooting. This was about 1:30 in the afternoon, according to Aurora Police Chief Kristen Zeman, who gave a news conference a little earlier with the mayor. Governor J.B. Pritzker was there as well. And what we know, Harry, is that about 1:30 this afternoon, police received multiple calls that there was a shooter inside of the building at 641 Archer Avenue. Four officers arrived at that scene. They were immediately fired upon. Two were shot. More officers soon arrived, and they faced gunfire. And in all, five officers were shot and wounded. Two were airlifted to trauma centers here in Chicago. A sixth officer is also treated for an injury that the officer received on scene as well. And what we are told is that this 45-year-old shooter, his name was Gary Martin. Police say he was a current or former employee at this plant. And what's so unique about this, Harry, it's 29,000 square feet.
Which is a massive,
monstrous
place for cops to run into.
Right. So they, without even giving it a second thought, ran into this building. Two were shot immediately. And you're talking about a facility, as we said, that's massive. So this gunman is running and hiding, and they're going into this building and this facility, not knowing where he is, where the shooter is, and just without giving it another thought, chased him down throughout this building. He's continuing to fire. He's firing on officers. He's firing on other people there. Five civilians are dead inside of this warehouse.
It's just terrible. And 1:24, the first call comes in.
Yeah.
1:28, the cops are there instantaneously.
Right.
And like Andrea was just saying, two of them are fired upon immediately. This is also a company with 200 employees.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're racing in there thinking, oh, my God, there's so many lives at stake. I've got to get there. And, you know, cops show up. And we talk about this all the time. These first responders, cops and firefighters and people that, you know, don't get to have normal days.
Right.
You know, you see him like, you know, in the morning getting a cup of coffee. You
right.
think, oh, he's just like me or she's just like me. And
right.
then something like this happens and boom, they are in the thick of gunfire.
And without giving it a second thought, Harry, I mean, I know firsthand there were detectives and officers on that scene who were not supposed to be there that day. They were at a different location and immediately came because they heard officers being fired upon. Civilians are being fired upon. Boom. They ran into this building selflessly. And five now fighting for their life, and five civilians are dead. And that number could increase, but that is what we have right now.
Right. There will be a press conference at 9 o'clock. The people from Aurora, along
yep.
with Governor Pritzker, met the media at 5:30. They did not take questions then, but they will have much more for us, and they will be taking questions at 9 o'clock. WGN Radio will carry that live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stay with us as we get more information. We will pass it along to you. Again, it doesn't make any sense. It happens way too often, and right here it happens so close to home in Aurora, the second largest city in the state.
Right. And truly, and the mayor and Kristen Zeman and Mayor Irvin, J.B. Pritzker, all on hand immediately as this is happening, Harry.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Governor Pritzker did not use this as a political, you know, opportunity, that he just said, you know, my God, you guys don't even think about it. You just rush in and, you know, you're there, you're protecting your lives. And he also, I think, you know, connected with the families, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that later. What lays ahead for the family? How do you say, you know, see you later to someone in your family, and then they're never going to come home again?
Right.
What happens next? So Ryan Burrow has been out there.
Yeah, Ryan's been out there.
Okay, so let's bring Ryan Burrow in with us now. Ryan joins us live from Aurora. Ryan, thanks for joining Andrea Darlis and me on WGN. What is the latest going on, Ryan?
Hey,
yes,
Ryan.
Sorry.
Okay, there we go. What we've got going outside of the actual crime scene itself, which is still very active in that there are a lot of police officials walking around as they try to piece together a little bit more of the timeline, as well as maybe any indication of what the motive was for all of this. We know workplace shooting is the likely culprit, but what would have spurred someone to do that? There have been discussions that maybe he was fired or was about to get fired. Not a good reason to open fire on your coworkers or former coworkers, but that's something they're trying to get at the heart of. And as part of that investigation, right now they are at Gary Martin's apartment complex, which we're heading over to in just a little bit, where they're looking for any kind of evidence, any information. Was this something that was planned out in advance? Were there notes that were left behind? What else did he have, potentially, weapon-wise? That's all information that we don't have at this point. Witnesses said it was a pistol, maybe with some kind of laser focus on it. But you have to understand, too, in those chaotic moments, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't exactly know what it is they're seeing. So we're going to let police come to the conclusion on that. It is incredible to think about, though, when Andre, you mentioned the 29,000 square foot facility.
Right, right.
You've got police coming in to this scene. And remember, at this point, all they know is shots have been fired and they don't know where it's coming from. Are we talking one gunman? Are we talking two gunmen? Multiple gunmen? You know, is this person holed up somewhere? Are there hostages? So they don't exactly know when they open up that door. And as the police chief said, two were instantly shot. Thankfully, you know, it doesn't sound like we've got any life-threatening injuries. At least the injuries that we've been told about have been stable to this point. But we will see how this all plays out. And there are, unfortunately, more questions, too, about victims. They didn't make any mention of injuries, and we know for a fact that some people were transported to the hospital with injuries. Some of the injuries that have been reflected have been non-life-threatening. So we'll see if at the 9 o'clock press conference, maybe we get a little bit more holistic of a number.
Ryan, I understand that the shooter spent a couple years in jail. Do you have any other details about that?
We don't at this point. Nothing that's confirmed. We've got a lot of great reporters out here right now, and I just want to give a shout out to the Daily Herald. I mean, they were, you know, this is their beat. The suburbs are their beat, and man, they were just churning out information, and all of us had to come rushing out from the city, and they know a lot of people, and they've done a great job. We just have to double source some of this stuff and make sure that we get it right, because last thing we want to do is prevent, you know, put out wrong information out there. Not that it the information that's out there is wrong, but we just want to double check, you know, make sure everything's correct.
Ryan, you were describing this area when you arrived. You were there early on, a 29,000 square foot warehouse facility. I know there's a valve manufacturing company in there, a steel company as well. What was the scene like when you arrived? Because we had heard Aurora Police, you know, dozens of officers, Kane County SWAT team there, U.S. Marshals, ATF, and the FBI were all getting to the scene. You guys were all getting there around the same time.
Yeah, I've seen Geneva police. I've seen West Chicago police. I saw Chicago police also here assisting in this. So pretty much everyone is lending a hand. The setup itself is weird. This really was, from a bird's eye view, it really was kind of a helicopter shot was the best angle, because it is down to the ground. These are big industrial buildings, but they're not tall. There are two, maybe there's a three-story building in here. And the way that this park is nestled into a residential area makes it kind of interesting, because we want to keep calling it, oh, it's this big, expansive industrial park, but really there are homes within a block away from it. So most of those are blocked up, although most of us reporters have been able able to essentially walk up to the entry point at this point, which is still blocked off with police tape and many, many police cars. I do see some flashing lights. They have brought some ambulances in. I think part of that may also be to be used to keep some of these investigators warm if they need a break, because it is bitterly cold out here.
Right.
And, you know, it's something that they're dealing with right now as well.
Ryan, have there been any, you know, family members trying to get in there, trying to gather information? I would imagine that, you know, something like this, you know, it's just a, you know, free for all. People don't know what's going on and they're trying to gain information. I know there's been a line of ambulances. Who else is there? What other cars are there? What other vehicles? Who's trying to come in?
Right now, it's a lot of police officers and a lot of media. As far as some kind of staging area for families, we weren't aware of that. This is a little bit different than those maybe school situations where, you know, you've got a lot of frantic parents and trying to get information out and things like that. I don't exactly know. There may have been a unification area, but if that was the case, it wasn't disclosed to the press. It was probably somewhere private. That being said, there is some activity still in one of these Henry Pratt company buildings. You know, I'm sure that there are people here who are talking with police, maybe revealing any information that they know. And some of their cars may still be kind of caught in this parking lot that is being blocked off right now by police.
Nine o'clock presser, right, Ryan?
Yes, that's what we're at. But keep in mind, that's flexible, too.
Right, absolutely. Great work, Ryan.
And I know that if you have any other information, you'll get back to us as soon as possible.
Absolutely. We'll keep filing, and we'll have more on the press conference, and we'll head over to the apartment right now and see what's going on there.
All right. Excellent. Great job, Ryan. I can't imagine what that's like over there for you all day. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Ryan. In addition, Harry, I know we're going to cover the press conference live at 9. The police are saying now, because people are just obviously flooding the police department in the western suburbs, saying, and all over, really, the state, saying, how can we help? Police are now asking people to please donate blood in the coming days. Centers across the country have shipped 70 blood components to Chicago and to Aurora. They've just scheduled a blood drive tomorrow in Bolingbrook and for Monday in St. Charles. So again, if you want to help, give blood is what you can really do to help now.
Andre Darlis is in studio with me. I'm Harry. I'm here with you till 10 o'clock on Nightside. Don't go anywhere. We're going to step away for just a second. We'll be back. We're covering this horrific shooting that took place in Aurora today because we are WGN Radio 720. This WGN Radio 720 Nightside. I'm Harry Tynowitz. Andre Darlis is in here with us to legitimize me. And we are covering this horrific shooting that took place today at in Aurora at the Henry Platt Company. And joining us now, very busy man today, is John O'Malley. John is a law enforcement expert, and he's been on TV, he's been on the radio all day. John, thank you very much for joining us on WGN Radio.
Sure, good morning, or good afternoon, I should say, Harry and Andre. How are you?
Hey, John, thanks for being with us.
John, what is your first thought when you hear that somebody has walked in to a 29,000-square-foot facility with a gun and is firing?
Yeah, so my first thought is, obviously, you know, trying to figure out who it is, and in this case, sounds like it was a employee who was terminated or laid off or whatever the case may be. So, you know, how he got in, did he still have access control to the place of employment, to this case, a warehouse or a factory, whatever it was. And then my other thought is, you know, as we saw those responding officers who are tasked with the job of responding to a situation where they know for a fact that there is active gunfire taking place. And in the last couple of minutes, I'm actually at a law enforcement retirement party, and two of the individuals who were out there just showed up, and I can report to you that both officers who were in critical condition, who were airlifted to Chicago, are going to survive those wounds.
Oh,
so that's good news.
Great
news.
Yeah.
Very good news.
And that's good. I was a little concerned with that when I heard they were airlifted all the way to Chicago. That didn't sound too good, but the trauma surgeons were working on other officers in Aurora at the time. So that's one thing that you guys are privy to that nobody else knows, and hopefully their families have been notified and they're fine. But again, guys, you know, once again, we're talking about a tragic incident that happened and now kind of in our backyard, you know, our neighbors to the southwest of us, Aurora, Illinois. And it's just why it happens, how it happens is studied over and over again. We really have no specific answers of why this occurs and how people get access to weapons and why they do what they do.
And John, you have been, you know, at the forefront of explaining to us over the past months, unfortunately and fortunately, about these workplace shootings. Talk about this from the police standpoint, as you kind of alluded to when we first started talking to you. They're walking in completely cold to a 29,000 square foot facility. They don't know what they're encountering. They're being fired upon. That's when two officers were shot. And also the importance of these active shooter drills, which I believe this company had just had one within the past year or so, and how important it is to follow the instructions, you know, of these drills.
Yeah, really important. So I'm hoping that, you know, we did see, unfortunately, five people so far that was reported earlier in the press briefing that were killed in this incident. That's not to say that the training that these employees may have had helped many others survive the situation by sheltering in place, getting to a place of safety, or whatever action they took. So I always stress to everybody to, I think we've talked about this before, Andre, is to act. A, assess the situation as quickly as you can. If you hear what you believe is gunfire, you've got to assess that really quickly. And that's an unusual thing to hear and to be involved with in daily life. C, control your emotions and your breathing as best as you can. Literally take that deep breath and then quickly T, take action. So ACT, learn how to act. And anything you can do to be situationally aware when these events occur is going to help your chances of survival. Not to diminish or not to take away, not to blame anyone who gets caught to be a victim. You could simply just be in the wrong time at the wrong place and get caught in the middle of this tragedy like we saw today. So employers, I should say, putting on training, giving their employees something to think about. And, you know, once a year to me is like the minimum that they should be doing.
Right.
And then the officers, you know, go through training. They've all been trained. Any modern day police officer has been trained in how to respond to an active shooter situation. Unfortunately, what we've seen, and today was another example, is these last couple of active shooters across the country, the law enforcement officers who are responding initially are being shot themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw that at Mercy Hospital here in Chicago. We saw that today. We saw that in California. There was another example I can't think of off the top of my head, but basically the last 4 to 5 active shooter situations in the United States, the responding officers themselves have become victims of the offenders in these situations. So is there going to be an evaluation by law enforcement in general, like there was after Virginia Tech, on how to approach tactically these situations? I don't know, but I think it's something that they might want to step back and take a look at and study.
John, we've got several more questions for you. Andrea is going to give, as you know, WGN, we do news halfway through and on top of the hour. Can you hang with us and we'll come back and after news we'll visit a little longer? Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, so he is law enforcement expert John O'Malley. We're going to come back. Andrea will give you the news, and then we will be back with John. We're staying on top of this just god-awful situation in Aurora. I'm Harry, and this is WGN Radio. This is Nightside on WGN Radio. Andrea Darlis, nice enough to hang with me in studio. I'm Harry. Thanks for joining us. Unfortunately, we're on top of this just god-awful story coming out of Aurora today, where a former employee went back to his place where he worked, and he opened fire on unsuspecting Americans.
Right. Just people going to work.
People just going to work, providing for their family, and cops were called. They didn't think. They were there within 4 minutes.
Right.
The first four cops that got entered, two of them were shot immediately.
Mm-hmm.
An awful situation, and we're visiting with John O'Malley. John O'Malley is like the guy you'd go to in this situation. You know, if you want to get a touchdown late in a football game,
right,
you know, you go to Coach Nagy and say, what's the play we call here?
Man.
John O'Malley is the guy here. So, John, yesterday, Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs tweeted that he will never forget the students that were lost a year ago at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. I was just counting, and even though I went to Kansas, I got to 19. This is the 19th mass shooting in America in 366 days. The experts have never known more. The police have never known more. You know, we're talking about how workplaces do these, you know, practices. And with all the information, we still have had 19 shootings in 12 months. How do we possibly curtail this?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous that that's become almost the norm in our society. And, you know, those are the ones, and you know, how do we prepare? How do we stop it? How do we mitigate it? It's almost impossible to say, Harry.
And it's unbelievable, too, John, because as you were saying before the break as well, we really have to pay attention. And, you know, we had to undergo a couple of these workplace safety training classes as well. And people, and I said before, John, it's fortunately and unfortunately that we have to go through this in this day and age. But this is the time where you need to pay attention. You know, this is happening all too often at our places of business, at schools, at churches, you know, and as you said, fight back, run, you know, don't let someone else be trying to decide your fate and your destiny.
Yeah, it's been in a lot of states, and Illinois being one of them soon, that it's going to be mandatory starting in the schools to have this training. You know, we have mandatory fire drills based on a tragedy that happened here in the Chicago area back in the 50s. Where all those children were killed in fires. But there hasn't been a child killed in a fire in the United States since that time. And yet there's been plenty of children and others killed in the workplace. So it's going to have to be, the only thing I can say is, what can we do, some kind of prevention education in the future? You know, run, hide, and fight, which was coined by DHS, Department of Homeland Security, has really become the new stop, drop, and roll. And if we can just ingrain that in people to take some action, to do something, again, it just increases your potential survival in a situation like this, in a school or a place of employment.
And we have to, again, give complete kudos and props to first responders who, like Harry and I were saying before, John, ran into the situation, just completely, they're all heroes for walking in, running
Absolutely.
In, not knowing a situation, you know, hearing, okay, shots fired, you don't know who you're dealing with. This is obviously, reportedly, a disgruntled employee with some sort of a high-powered weapon. So, again, walking in selflessly to put their lives on the line for others, men and women.
Right. Absolutely. So, Virginia Tech was a case study that was done, and what law enforcement learned from that was you can't, it used to be, you set up a perimeter and then wait for a big tactical response. Well, what we learned from that was while they were doing that, many lives were lost in that situation. So the new training then became, it doesn't matter if it's just me and you, Andrea, me and
right.
you, Harry, the three of us, we're going to go in, try to locate the shooter or shooters, and then neutralize that situation. And as we were talking before the break, was unfortunately what's happened lately is those officers responding initially, making that decision, are now not only going into gunfire but being engaged by the shooter and being hit by the gunfire.
Right.
So, what tactics will change? What tactics will be looked at? You know, I'm not sure, but they will continue to do so. If this situation unfolded 30 minutes from now somewhere in the United States, you're going to see those officers respond in that same way because that is just what they're trained to do. So your muscle memory, you're going to fall back on the highest level of training you've received during a critical incident. And that's what we saw today, that these officers came, tried to locate that shooter. They obviously came in contact with that shooter. And I wouldn't be surprised if we find out later, once this is all the information comes out, that even the officers that were shot, that they engaged and exchanged gunfire with that offender. And then other additional responding officers eventually, for what it sounds like, engaged that threat, engaged that offender, and eventually eliminated the threat by shooting at the offender, and then he eventually died from those wounds.
We're visiting with law enforcement expert John O'Malley. John, nice enough to give us some time today. He has had a long day's journey. John, my last question for you. You know, I'm a dad, although my daughter would tell you not all the time.
I got four of them.
Right. So isn't it great that an 18-year-old can know everything there is to know already?
They do know a lot. So much more than I knew at 18, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, there's been a big push for teachers to learn how to use a gun and to have guns in the school. Do you foresee a day when workplaces, when schools will have normal people forced to protect other people by brandishing weapons and having guns at their fingertips?
No, I don't. So I don't think that's the answer, for the simple fact that this isn't a weapon. Handgun is not a tool. It's not a screwdriver. It's not a hammer. It's not a saw that I could teach you in a couple hours how to use. That is just not a good idea. Educators are there to educate. Now, should schools look at some type of security? Potentially, absolutely. Is that hiring the $7 an hour security guard? No. You know, but each school, each place of employment needs to evaluate what their security measures are. Oftentimes, in the bottom line in companies, security is kind of at the bottom of what's going on at that company. That needs to be evaluated. Each company, each school, each hospital, each whatever it is, needs to do a complete evaluation on their security measures. You can't lock places down when you're trying to conduct business. You can't lock a school down when the purpose of the school is to educate the children. My children attend a school where we have security on site at both campuses. It's an urban environment, and I was very vocal, very involved in establishing a very squared away security program at both of those campuses for that school. And, you know, but that's a unique situation. So they all need to take a look at and do it a physical security assessment. There are many places that you can reach out to and have a professional physical security assessment done on your place of business.
Hey, John, we thank you very much for giving us some time. Please take care of yourself, and hopefully we get to chat with you in a much different light next time.
Yes, I would appreciate that. Guys,
thank
take care,
John.
Have a good night, and let's everyone pray for the city of Aurora and all those people involved today.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. John O'Malley, law enforcement expert, nice enough to give us some time here on WGN Radio. What happens next? What if you are somebody that was there today and you saw a coworker lose his life? Right. What if you are a good friend of someone like that? Mm-hmm. We are going to come back and visit with somebody who went through that exact situation and talk about how they have been dealing with it for the last 11 years since they were unfortunately on the campus at Northern Illinois 11 years ago when the shooting took place there. Andrea Darlis, nice enough to hang out with me. I'm Harry. This is Nightside on WGN. Nightside on WGN Radio 720, the heart of Chicago. We're here for you, and Andrea Darlis has moved from the newsroom, taking that long walk, about 60 feet, 6 inches,
yes,
into Studio D tonight. Unfortunately, we are on top of this awful shooting in Aurora. It is the 19th shooting, mass shooting in America since the shootings that took place in Parkland, Florida last year, and I keep saying that and I can't get over it. It's just ridiculous. This is a guy, I've known his dad for about 15 years, and I've known Grant probably for just as long. Grant was on the campus, a student at Northern Illinois University. It's hard to believe, Andrea, it's been 11 years since that mass shooting took place.
I remember, and it's unfortunate that we are in this world right now where I remember that day, Harry. I remember our reporter who went out to go cover that day. He's working at a different station now. You start remembering these things and where you were and what, you know, people you talked to and interviews that you did, and it unfortunately it just sticks with you. Yeah, so hard.
You always remember where you were for something like that.
You sure
do. When Reagan was shot, when somebody gets shot. So, Grant Dukin, thank you very much for giving us some time tonight. Grant, how you feeling tonight?
Oh, doing great. How about yourself, Harry?
Well, we're hanging in best we can. I think rather than me telling your story, it might be good if you told your story. Let me just ask you, as we look back on your college life, and we won't get into the parties and stuff like that, but on the day of the mass shootings in DeKalb at Northern Illinois University, you were not only on campus, but you were in the building next door to where the shooting was going on. Please tell us, Andrea Darlis, myself, everybody listening on WGN Radio, what happened and how you reacted.
It was really kind of odd. I was kind of just waiting for Burmese class, believe it or not, Harry. I took Burmese, and I was standing next to a couple of my friends, and we could hear gunshots, and we couldn't believe it. And my one friend just said, "Oh, my God, what's happening?" And I grabbed her and I said, "Come with me." And we started running. We kind of ran as fast as we could. We stopped at several points where we knew it was a little weird, but we were trying to listen for gunshots. We got to my car. I drove up, grabbed some people. Got him in my car, drove somewhere, and then I drove back. And by the time I got back,
why did you drive back? You were safe. Why did you drive back?
I had teammates on the football team that I knew were around there, and I wanted to get to them. And luckily, nothing happened to them. One of my friends from middle school and high school got killed, Dan Parmenter, and he was a hero. He had a girlfriend for not that long, but he really liked her a lot.
I remember.
And he wanted to give her a necklace in class. And he laid on top of her and saved her life. And unfortunately, and you lost five people. We lost five people today in Aurora.
Yeah,
it's very sad. I'm glad to hear that these first responders, the cops, are... Seems like the two that were airlifted are going to be okay. That's mm-hmm. great to hear. And 4 minutes. I can't even get in and out of the shower in 4 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Grant, I'm so sorry for what you had to go through. I mean, just hearing the emotion in your voice is just making us, goosebumps and just very emotional, too. And we've had to take some of these active shooter drills here at work and at the station. I know so many companies now do. And I remember the instructor at one point saying it's almost not a question of if it will happen anymore, but when, and how we all have to prepare ourselves. And I said to Harry, I've been saying this all night, fortunately and unfortunately, but now, we're all better preparing ourselves for situations like that. And that part is a good thing.
I agree. I will say some people, they don't move. It is flight or fight. It really is. And there's people that were in that in the NIU shooting that didn't. They stayed in their seat. They didn't move.
Yeah.
It's a human thing. From what I've learned, it's some people are born to run, and some people are born to. Kind of like, hey, what's going on? And that's okay, too.
Right.
I think hopefully these people that, are just trying to do their job at work and get a paycheck, can find some therapy after all this and can talk to some people and get some help. We were very lucky at Northern to have some great leadership. One of those people is Jim Phillips, who's the athletic director at Northwestern.
Yeah, I love Jim Phillips.
He's a great guy, and he was so hands-on. I mean, you have no idea. And he was also vice president of school. They took care of a lot of great things, and they brought in Virginia Tech. And the Virginia Tech people were really the first to lay the groundwork, and they had to learn a lot of things themselves. And they were very passionate about helping us, and they were
detrimental. And one of the first things I learned was, is you have to tell your story. You have to talk about how you feel. Whether it's with a professional counselor or just one of your buddies that you drink with every now and then. And it helps you, it really kind of get some of those emotions down a little bit. I'm sorry, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's a way to try and normalize it as best as you can.
Yeah, we can hear it in your voice. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're up against the break and the news in like 45 seconds. If you could wrap up, if you could talk to, if you were talking right now to the people in the families that lost someone today, if people in the families that had somebody shot today and that almost lost them, what is your message to them?
My message would be is that people are praying for you, sending positive energy to you, and you are not alone. And we will help you. And don't be afraid to ask for help, whether you were locked down in a school or you're a teacher or you were actually having to be there or you're a cop. You know, we all need to work together. We all have to help each other, and we will be there for you.
Grant, I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. I can't imagine what you went through. Sorry you have to relive it. But you were a hero that day, dude.
Yeah, you were, Grant.
And the world needs to hear
it.
And
Dan Parmenter was a hero.
Yeah.
And so were the cops. They also responded in 4 minutes. God bless that we have these cops.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous that these men and women do this for people they don't even know,
right.
For strangers. They risk their life and limb
every day
at a second's notice.
Yep.
Grant Tungen, thank you very, very much for joining us today. And don't let your dad take you to the OTB too often, okay?
Harry, thank you so much. We always bet Crypto Clarence for you, okay?
Oh, that's great.
Those are the days,
he knows
man.
You.
Those are the days.
He knows
yeah,
you.
Now
God.
We're getting back to Born to Run. All right, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
Be good. Take care of yourself.
All right, you too as well. All right, God bless.
All right, God
thank
bless
you.
You.
What a great guy. What a great guy to have gone through what he went through.
I can't imagine. So, like, as you said, some people can't move. Other people react, you know, and you have no preparation.
No, it's true.
So he took someone, grabbed another person,
yep.
and got them home. And even though he's safe now, he goes back into where the gunfire is.
Back into help.
Yeah, not knowing if there's, you know, still shooting going on or there's another shooter. And,
right.
You know, it's just... It's crazy. It's nuts.
You know, Harry, if you have a bad day, think of something like this and think of the Grants
right.
and the police officers and the first responders and think of that. And that will really make whatever is going on in your world a little bit better, I think.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to step away. We'll come back. We'll give you the news. This is WGN Radio.